Israel's military says it has established that four men abducted by Hamas on October the 7th are dead. It says the four were killed during an Israeli operation in Khan Yunis, but has given no further details. Meanwhile, the United States says it wants the UN Security Council to adopt a resolution backing the proposal outlined by President Joe Biden to bring about a ceasefire in Gaza. Under the three-part plan, the ceasefire would be followed by a surge in aid, as well as the exchange of hostages for Palestinian prisoners. For the latest developments, we can go to Sky News Middle East correspondent Alistair Bunkle, who's in Jerusalem. Thanks for talking to us this morning. It's 4 days since Joe Biden first spoke about this proposed ceasefire. What has happened since then?
Good morning. Well, we're still officially waiting, firstly, for a response from Hamas. In the hours after Joe Biden delivered that proposal from the White House on national television, the spokesman for Hamas did respond and said they're looking at it positively. But it needs a formal response that is agreed by all factions of Hamas. Hamas is a consensus-based operation, organization, that is spread a bit around the Middle East. You've got a political leadership between Turkey and Qatar, but then, of course, you've got the leadership in Gaza itself. And that is the all-important aspect of it, because if a ceasefire is to go ahead, then it needs the approval and the cooperation of Hamas in Gaza. And so I think it's that we're still waiting on Yahya Sinwar, not we will hear directly from him, but we're waiting on Sinwar in Gaza to give his verdict on this proposal. And to put it bluntly, given the state that Gaza's in right now, it's not always that easy to get hold of Sinwar and senior commanders around him.
Can we talk then about Israel's position? Because on the one hand, the United States is essentially saying that Israel is on board. But on the other hand, Benjamin Netanyahu continues to say that there will be no ceasefire until Hamas is destroyed.
Well, if we just focus on the Israeli government, I would split it into three, if you like. On the far right, the politicians like Itamar Ben-Gvir, the National Security Minister, Bezalel Smotrich, who is the Finance Minister, both far-right nationalists, both want to keep fighting in Gaza, both perhaps have ambitions for Israel to reoccupy Gaza, and both have come out in the last couple of days and said that they reject any proposal and would leave government if a ceasefire goes ahead. Then you've got on the other side of this political spectrum, those of the moderates, Benny Gantz and Gadi Eisenkot. They support a ceasefire. They want to see a hostage deal, although actually in slightly unrelated developments, it looks like they'll leave the government by the end of the week anyway, because they're pretty fed up with Netanyahu. And then you have Netanyahu himself, which, if you like, let's put him in the middle. And we don't really know which way he's turning at the moment. He is notoriously, he takes a long time to make decisions. That is one of his characters as Prime Minister in Israel. He often puts off difficult decisions until he has to make them. And I think at the moment, my reading of it is that he is trying to appease the right, but he is also very conscious of the pressure being put on him by the Western world and the Arab states to try and come to a ceasefire deal.
As you were saying, Hamas made that initial statement saying it took a positive view. Then we've had over the weekend various statements from the Israelis. So where does all of this stand now?
Well, I think Hamas were quite canny in coming out quite quickly and saying they were viewing it positively, because it makes them look as though they're not being an obstacle to a potential process. I think if we're looking for developments in the coming, and I would say the coming hours, because as you said, it's now 4 days since Biden presented that proposal. So it really could be any day now that we get word from Hamas. But I think we are looking at Hamas potentially going to Cairo to negotiate probably the finer detail. As I say, we're waiting on an official statement from Hamas, whether or not they think that this proposal put forward by Biden is something they can work with. And they will need to compromise from their position, because their position has always been no deal unless there is a guarantee of a permanent ceasefire. And the Biden proposal does not guarantee that. It only guarantees that happening in the second phase. So Hamas would need to compromise and enter a ceasefire with the promise that a permanent ceasefire would be negotiated in time. So it's not a guarantee that Hamas will accept it, but they will have conversations with mediators in Cairo, and I think we would expect to hear from them, if not today, certainly in the coming days.
And while all this focus has been on this diplomatic initiative, what's actually been happening on the ground since the details of those proposals were first revealed?
Well, Israeli troops withdrew from the Jabalia refugee camp in northern Gaza sort of hours before Biden made that statement. And that had been a short but very intense period of fighting in the Jabalia refugee camp, where there were remnants of Hamas, I think there probably still are Hamas fighters there, but the Israelis were compelled to go back into there, having already been there at the back end of last year. So most of the military activity now is down in and around Rafah, as has been widely reported. The Israelis still have control of what's called the Philadelphia Corridor, which is the strip of land about 15 kilometers from east to west that runs between Gaza and Egypt. It is a very, very strategic advantage for Israel. They are trying to destroy tunnels that Hamas have used to, not just Hamas, nor ordinary Gazans have used to smuggle things from Egypt into Gaza, and they retain control of it. And I suspect, and it's just my guess here, is that they will try and retain control of it for quite some time, even with a ceasefire in place. The consequence of that, though, is that the Rafah crossing remains closed and has done for a number of weeks. And that has severely impacted the amount of aid that can get into Gaza, particularly fuel.
And we know that that is having quite a severe impact.
Well, fuel, obviously runs everything, whether it's hospitals, generators, whether it's desalination, whether it's sewage works, whether it's water. Fuel is just fundamental to life running anywhere. And so you cut it off, and what is already a dire situation, a catastrophic humanitarian situation, becomes much, much worse. And there is some fuel, and there is still aid coming through Kerem Shalom, which is the Israeli crossing in the south. I was down there a couple of days ago, but it's nowhere near the levels that we were seeing a month or so ago. And even those levels, according to the UN and other aid agencies, were too low. The American pier that was built off the coast of northern Gaza, that collapsed under heavy seas, so it's gone away for repair. Some of the aid drops have not been going because they haven't been given the security to fly over Gaza. And so you take all those things together, and that is why the humanitarian aid convoys have reduced in number. And as they reduce in number, the humanitarian crisis obviously worsens.
Alistair, thank you very much for that. Alistair Bunkle there, Sky News Middle East correspondent.